Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. Proverbs, chapter 1. We'll be turning to several scriptures tonight. We're going to read all of these verses in unison tonight. Proverbs, chapter 1, verse number 4. Proverbs, chapter 1, verse number 4. Let's read it in unison together. Ready? To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. Now turn to Proverbs chapter 7. We'll read verse number 7 together. And again, we'll read this verse in unison. Proverbs 7, verse number 7. Ready? And beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. Now turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, we're going to read verse number 6 together. Titus chapter 2, verse number 6. Titus chapter 2, verse number 6. Ready? Let's read this verse together. Young men, likewise exhort to be sober-minded. Now turn to 1 John chapter 2. These will be the last verses that we read. 1 John chapter 2. We'll read verses 13 and 14 together. 1 John chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Ready? Let's read. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abide in you. And ye have overcome the wicked one. And let's pray. Father, thank you for our church. Lord, thank you that this is a tired group of people. Lord, many of our folks worked in Sunday school or out on the parking lot, worked bus routes. Some were here very early starting buses so that they would be warm. Others, junior churches, working at the doors, nurseries, just a multitude of things. King's Kids tonight, young fundamentalists. Lord, what a busy place, a place I believe and I think that you're happy to be at. Father, fill our preacher with your power. Extend our church for generations to come because of tonight, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I don't think the sermon will take long this evening, and I think I'll have you on your way pretty quickly. The sermon, I've entitled it, Helping Our Boys to Become Men. Maybe it could have a subtitle on how not to raise a sissy. We read a few passages of Scripture earlier when Brother Bush was helping us to read. I'm going to read two more verses to you. You need not turn to them. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse number 9 says, Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Then the Bible says in Psalm 119, verse number 9, Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto, according to thy word. You know, the Bible shows great, great concern about the behavior of young men. Over and over and over again, God is giving us instruction about young men. You say, why? Because young men become adult men. They are the leaders of tomorrow. Our young men of today will lead our country someday. Our young men in our church will lead our church someday. And I hate to say it, but young men of today are softer than I've ever seen them. Softer than I've ever seen them. I believe young men should have balance. I think all men should have balance. I think they should have strength and beauty. I think they should be known for having grace and truth. I think that a young man needs to learn the balance of the two, but I fear that men are weaker today than ever before in our country. And the reason for the weakness among our men is because our boys are being reared to be soft. And I'm not talking about being a bully. I don't think a man ought to be a bully. I don't think a man ought to ever hit his wife. Ever hit his wife. If you hit your wife, you're not as tough as what you think you are. That's not the kind of thing I'm talking about. But I'll tell you this. I see a soft generation of men. I see it. They used to say, boys will be boys. Today we have to say, boys will be girls. And there are men that have a few years on you. If you would say amen every once in a while, it would help me. Because I'll tell you this, it didn't take much to look at a lot of boys today, and there is a softness that's dangerous. I'm fearful for our country. Do you all know something? If we had to go to a war, and we had to take masses of young men to war, we are in trouble.
Yes, sir.
We are in trouble.
Yes, sir.
And so tonight, let me talk to you for just a little while about helping our boys to become men. I'm just going to make some practical statements. It won't take long, but I wish you'd listen to me. First of all, if you don't want to have a feminine boy, you need to let him do manly things. If you don't want to have a feminine boy, you have to let him do manly things. And unless you don't know what manly things are, those are things that could be dangerous. He could get hurt. You say, well, I don't want my boy hurt. Then don't let him go into the workforce and don't let him get married. There was a boy at the public high school where I went to school. And he was sissy, and he got picked on a little bit, and I don't approve of that, but he did get picked on. And I remember one day, me and my buddy, we'd been at baseball practice, and we were riding our bikes by this boy's house, and he was out mowing the yard, and he had goggles on, gloves on, and a helmet on. And I heard someone question his yard mowing safety equipment. And he said, my mom makes me wear that. Phew. Goodness. No wonder children run away. If my mother would have made me wear a helmet, safety goggles, and gloves to mow the yard, I don't know how I could survive that. You know, if you don't want your boy to be feminine, you've got to let him do manly things. Let him play ball and teach him to shoot a gun. And though I know there are appropriate times and places for a guy to have a pocket knife, he needs to learn how to whittle and stab something and gut something and clean something. He needs to learn those things. But if you don't let him do manly things, don't expect him to be a man someday. Don't expect it. And I'm telling you, we've got a soft generation. A soft generation. So if you don't want your boy to be feminine, let him do manly things. Number two, if you don't want your boy to be feminine, don't have him spending all of his time around the girls. Listen, if you've got one boy in the family and a handful of girls and they're all his sisters, man, get him an escape somewhere sometime. If he's in the toy room playing with Barbies, you have a problem. And you get a boy spending time with girls all the time. Let me tell you something. We've got a group of moms that are rearing their kids, and they're doing it on their own. And we've got some to do a fabulous job, by the way. A fabulous job. I've watched moms rear boys and the boys be masculine and moms rear the boys all by themselves. But they did it on purpose. They did it on purpose. And if you don't want that boy to be feminine, he can't spend all of his time around the girls. You know, little boys and boys that are children that spend all their time around girls, they're probably playing. They're having tea parties and dressing up in dresses and everything else. My goodness. So if you don't want that boy to be feminine, he can't spend all that time around the girls. Put him in the ball league. Get him around some boys. But make sure that he's around other masculine little boys. Number three, if you don't want your boy to be feminine, you're going to have to help him with his whining. Whining. Now, the first thing some of you men will have to do is correct your own whining. It's very difficult to say to your boy, stop whining when you whine all the time. Do we live in a generation of excuse makers and blamers and complainers and pouters. And I realize when children are growing up, they're going to have to learn their emotions and everything. And they're going to whine some. But I am telling you today, they whine and whine and whine. And it is no wonder they are so soft. You say, what do you mean? Well, every once in a while, fellas, you just suck it up and you say, but it hurts. Don't tell anybody. What's happened to manhood? You don't have to tell everybody everything that hurts. You say it hurts really bad. Go somewhere in private and discuss it with yourself. Men, is that not what men do? But you just don't spend your life whining and sniffling. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my. My dad knocked the whine right out of me. You say, well, he shouldn't have done that. I appreciated it. And I don't think you ought to abuse your child, but I'm going to tell you, some of you are abusing your boy by turning him into a sissy. And so, I say, if you don't want your boy to be feminine, let him do manly things. And if you don't want your boy to be feminine, don't have him spend all of his time around the girls. And if you don't want your boy to be feminine, you've got to help him with the whining thing and teach him the right place and the right time to whine. But it just can't be all the time about everything. And number four, if you don't want your boy to be feminine, you need to teach him to finish the job. Finish the job. Finish what you start. Men finish what they start. Men finish school and they finish that project. And if they're building something, they finish it. And men finish eating that steak and fried chicken. They finish it. And then they want more. But men finish things. Today, we have a generation of people that they get to going through a project. If it gets tough, they don't finish it. They just walk away from it. That'd be hard. Well, we wouldn't want you to do anything hard, would we? Finish it. Finish the job. They need to be taught that. You know, you do your son a favor by teaching him to finish what he starts, because one of these days he's going to be a part of the economy out there. One of these days he's going to have a job. Well, hey, he needs to be taught that so he'll finish his marriage. He'll finish the tasks of life. And so if you don't want your boy to end up feminine and soft, he's got to learn to finish the job. Then number five, if you don't want your boy to be feminine, he needs to learn to even do the little jobs well. I really believe it's a character trait. You know, sometimes if we think we're going to get fame and glory and it's a big thing and everybody's going to see it, we put our best foot forward. Men are men in the dark as well as in the light. Men are men when everybody can see them, and men are men when nobody can see them. Men are men when they're going to get credit for being men, or men are men when they're not going to get credit for being men. Men are men when everybody can see you and pat you on the back, and men are men when nobody's going to pat you on the back. And you take the job and you finish the job. And even if it tends to be what you might consider a little job, it's important to you that it be done right. I think that's a manly trait. And I think boys need to be taught that trait. So let's help our boys not to be feminine. How? By helping them to do manly things. Let's help our boys not to be feminine. How? By not spending all their time with the girls. Let's help our boys not to be feminine by helping them with this issue of whining and being excuse makers and blamers and complainers. Let's help our boys not to be feminine by teaching them to finish the job and paying the price to get the job done. Then let's teach them the character of doing even the little jobs well when nobody can see them. Then, may I say number six, I think that if we don't want our boys to be feminine and soft, I think they need to learn to be gentle and kind and helpful to women of all ages. Gentle and kind and helpful to women of all ages. Boys, you be good to the girls. Teenage boys, you be good to those teenage girls. All boys, you be good to your mom. I say, you be good to your mom. You treat your mom right. Don't you be mean to your mom. Don't be mean to the ladies around the church. A man is to respect a lady and protect a lady. Hey, look, we're to be protecting the ladies, not hurting the ladies. We shouldn't be talking bad about them. We shouldn't be making nasty comments about them. Shouldn't happen. Chivalry seems to be a thing of the past, but let there be a church right here in Martinsburg, West Virginia, that still shows a respect and a kindness and a courtesy to ladies. To ladies. Treat them right. You boys, treat your sister right. Yeah, you say, wow, my sister's worthless. Your sister is going to grow up and learn how to make cookies, bud. It is my recommendation that you take care of her. She's going to learn to cook. You say, she's my older sister, then she's going to be your babysitter someday. And if you don't behave yourself, she'll beat the snot out of you in the closet, son. But I believe that young men ought to be gentle and kind and helpful to women and women of all ages. You boys around the church, let's make it so all the boys, when they see a lady approaching a door, that they open that door. When you young men, whether you're 4 years of age or 400 years of age, you see a lady carrying a box and you say, look at that, that she's carrying that box. You run up there and you help her. You say, how? Clap for her and tell her she's doing a good job. You ought to take that box and you ought to carry that box for her. And ladies, I do not mean this in an offensive way at all. I just tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says that a lady is the weaker vessel. And men ought to step up and protect them and care for them and love them and give them protection and security. And I don't think that means that ladies are weak. I know ladies can be very, very strong. But I am here to tell you our boys ought to be taught to take care of the ladies. Take care of the girls. And so, if you don't want your boy to be feminine, let him do manly things. If you don't want your boy to be feminine, keep him from spending all of his time with the girls. If you don't want your boy to be feminine, you've got to work on the whining that goes on. If you don't want your boy to be feminine, teach him to finish the job. Take that task all the way to the end. If you don't want your boy to be feminine, make sure he learns to do the little jobs right. Not just the big ones where they include the accolades and praises of man, but even the little ones that have prove that he has character in the dark as well as character in the light. I think if we don't want our boys to be feminine and we want them to be men's men, they've got to be taught to be gentle and kind and helpful to women. Number 7. If we don't want our boys to be feminine, we're going to have to be careful that mommy is not constantly pleading his case. That mommy is not constantly pleading his case. Or anybody for that matter. Every once in a while, boys need to learn how to handle their situation. There's no way for me to get out of this without having somebody criticize what I'm about to say. But my goodness. My parents did not spend my childhood running around defending me to everybody all the time. I'm lucky to be alive. And I'll be honest, and I don't know that I could speak for anybody else, anytime my parents were going to run defend me, I was horrified. Because I've pretty well taught, son, suck it up and be a man and take life. If I had to deal with my friends thinking that my mommy and daddy were going to be there for every little bump that I faced in life, I wouldn't want to face my friends the next day at school. Your mom and dad were down here again. Sissy britches. I don't know how y'all grew up, but that's how I grew up. And I know it's not going to matter. I'm going to get criticized for what I just said, but I'm going to say it anyway because I really, really believe that we now I think there is a time. I think there are times when there are certain injustices. But can I tell you this about injustices? Might as well get used to it. I mean, you're going to face injustices for the rest of your life. I'm not approving of injustices, but I am saying you better learn how to handle the injustices of life. If not, you can run home and whine to your wife. And so, be careful with just the constant defense and the constant of having someone coming to plead your case. And a man has to learn to step up and take the unpleasantness of life when you get cheated and pushed around. It's just part of it. It's part of it. May I say, number eight, if you don't want your boy to be feminine, he ought to be encouraged to ask advice from his dad, ask advice from some good man, ask advice from his pastor. Find some men that are good, strong, spiritual men and get around them and get advice and watch them. Watch them walk. Watch how they handle themselves. You moms that are rearing your boys by yourselves, find some role models in the church and point at them and say, that guy right there, you got to watch him. Go over and stand by him while they're standing around in church talking about gutting a deer. And learn how to stomach it so you don't go, ooh, that makes me sick. No, you make me sick. And every time I say this, it gets me in trouble. But boys do eat worms and dirt every once in a while. And there's some of you mamas, you need to give your boy a plateful to get him caught up. He's far behind on his masculinity at this point, and you do him a favor of just getting him a dozen night crawlers. Get him around the men and teach them to seek advice from strong men. And not it will help them. Number next. If you don't want your boy to be feminine, you need to teach him not to run from hardship. Don't run from hardship. There are times, boys, men, life's not always an easy road. It's not always an easy road. A lot of things are hard in life. And I believe this. I believe we live in days it's hard to be a man. I believe that. But do what's hard. And because it's hard to be a man in these days, we have all sorts of them jumping ship and going to the other side. What's wrong with us? So don't run from hardship. Boys, if something's a little hard, let that entice you. Don't always look for the easy way. Don't always look for the simple things and the soft things of life. Do some things that are hard. Then, if I may, number 10. And I've said this, but I'll repeat it. Hang around masculine men. Just hang around masculine men. Number 11. If we don't want our boys to be feminine, they have to learn to take rebuke like a man. Take rebuke like a man. If you're a young man and you're in the workforce or you're being coached or you're doing something productive, then somebody's going to lead you. And somebody's going to have to tell you you're not doing it the right way. Now if you're going to grow and if you're going to improve and survive out there, you have to take it when somebody says you're not doing that the right way. You can't always have your way. We live, again, there are men here that employ. There are men here that lead other men. Today, so many men, even grown men, you correct them, you rebuke them, they'll just quit their job. They run. They pout. They become bitter about it. Listen, men, if we're going to improve ourselves, God's going to rebuke us. And the Holy Spirit's going to rebuke us. And the Bible's going to rebuke us. The truth is, if we are convicted by God, the Bible says that conviction is a kindness. That's what improves us. We become better when we're corrected. Look, if there's something wrong with us, let's fix it. Real men say, something wrong with me? Let's go to work on it and fix it. They don't hide behind mommy's skirt. They can take rebuke. There are a bunch of men in here that are veterans. If I were you, I would not join the military if you can't take rebuke. You're going to be corrected. And I'll tell you, if you're going to be in the Lord's army, you better learn how to take rebuke too. Number 12. I want to recommend to all the dads and all the men of our church that we provide for our young men, for our sons, for our boys, masculine love. God put them in our homes. Mom's going to love them and thank God for it. But the boys need to be told that dad loves them and dad needs to love them too. And I'm going to tell you why. Because inside every boy is a desire for mom's love. And inside every boy is a desire for a man's love as well. And I'm not going to go into this deeply, but I'm going to tell you something. Boys that do not get man love growing up sometimes look for it when they're grown up. That means while you're busy teaching them to be tough, you better make sure you love them too. If all you do is teach them toughness, but they never receive the love of a man, they may look for it later in life, and there are vultures out there that will hurt them. So, dads, love your boys. Grandpas, love those boys. And may I say also, you Sunday school teachers, you men Sunday school teachers around here, I beg of you, love the boys in your classes. You say, why? Because all sorts of those boys don't have a father's love at home. And you could become a great role model to them, and you could be the one that would provide the love that they need while they're getting their man training. Man training is not all about being rough and tough. Man training also includes love. It takes the balance of it. And so dads need to provide masculine love. Sunday school teachers need to provide it. The men of our church, we need to provide it. Hey, and I'll tell you this. Most of the time, you take that issue of rebuke. I happen to believe if a man knows you love him, he can virtually take any rebuke from you. Any rebuke. If your boys know that you love them, the rebuke is not going to sever the relationship. It's when though the love is questionable that the rebuke then may separate. Then, this is the last point that I'll give you tonight, though I could talk about this all night. Finally, boys, men, parents, there are some times that men, and I put it this way, we just keep going even when it hurts. I call it playing hurt. Playing hurt. We say, what are you talking about? You say, I'm really tired. Well, let me tell you something. Tired men run the world. Well, I'm too tired to go to basketball practice. You think you're tired now, son. You wait until life is no longer a game. You say, I have a blister on my hand. Well, we're going to put you in intensive care, sweetheart. I'd be ashamed if I didn't have one every once in a while. I don't know, but I should have had some research done to find out how many people die from blisters. You say, there's a chance it could be infected. I know, but you're probably not going to be the one. You say, and I know I'm going to get in trouble, but that's okay. Sometimes I just enjoy it. Say, I have a headache. Well, let me tell you something. I've never gone to work if I had a headache. And I've never gone to work if I were tired. And I know you're going to think there's overkill in what I'm saying, but I pretty well go to work if I'm throwing up. I've had times when I've walked out of this pulpit and went back and puked my guts up in my office. Nobody would have ever known it because that's just how I was reared. Get the job done, son. Well, it usually separates the men from the boys and the leaders from the followers. And I'm not, I know somebody here, you're going to say, great, you're just trying to ruin me, kill me, destroy me. And there are people that have sicknesses that are very overwhelming. I don't have one of those right now. But what I'm talking about is some of that minimal stuff. I'm just talking about that little whiny, piddly kind of garbage that we use as excuses to keep us from doing the things we ought to do. And you boys that are in this room, I'll promise you, when you look around this room and you see the men that you admire, they're saying, that's right, you gotta go to work sometimes when you have a headache. And that's right, sometimes you gotta go to work when your tummy is all messed up. And sometimes you have to, when you're tired, you go to work anyway. That's what they do. That's what men do. And sometimes you play hurt. I fear for the next generation. I fear for the next generation in Christianity. I fear for the next generation in America. Years and years ago, the unisex movement in America started taking the edge off of men. And they wanted everybody to wear their hair alike and wear the same jewelry and act alike and dress alike and play alike. Well, we're pretty well there. We're pretty well there. That's what they wanted. But that's not what God wants. God created man and God created woman, and He created them different. And no matter how hard everybody tries, God still wants us to be different. Lots of verses. You would be amazed how many verses there are in the Bible about young men. Over there may, matter of fact, I'm almost sure this is true. There are more verses about young men than the older men. You say, why? Well, if you get the young men taken care of, you don't have to worry about the older men. You know, one is a chain reaction to either the success or the failure of the other. Let's help our boys. Let's help our boys. We need them to be godly, balanced, young men. And the Bible says, it says this, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. If you went through the Bible, you'll find that God wants young men to grow into strong adult men so they can provide leadership for countries, families, churches, and we ought to be contributors at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church to God's purpose and intent. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight, you've never been saved, you ought to get born again. If you're here and you've never made public your salvation, you ought to do it. If you're here tonight, you've never been baptized, you ought to come. If you need to join the church, you come. There are some young men, some boys. Maybe you need to come to the altar and just say, I want to do things right, God. Mamas, my intent was not to beat you up. Not at all. That was not my intent. Oh, I want to protect your kids. I want to protect your boys. Dads, help. Help with it. Let's all pull together. Sunday school teachers, bus captains, everybody, pull together. Let's rear a generation of boys. Not soft. Oh, tender, loving, sure, but not in excess that gets them out of balance, that makes them sissy. I believe there'll be people you'll use the altar tonight for a variety of reasons, and the altar will be open to you. I'll ask the instrumentalists to begin to